Let's get ready to rumble!
Out of bounds, on the floor.
It's Balls Up Friday with Eddie Howe.
I think I may have already got him offside this morning by taking the piss out of him just before he came on. Good morning, Eddie Howe.
I like the pun of offside, Damon. Well done. A good sporting pun to start the segment off.
We will talk about your favourite sport very soon, but let's start with cricket because local cricket, it is back.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really exciting. And as I sort of mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the cricket season was interrupted right at the end of last summer because of coronavirus, and it's been interrupted again. Local footy season was delayed through the middle of the year, but once they were up and running, there wasn't sort of any interruption, so they were able to get an uninterrupted season in the end. But cricket, yeah, sort of lost grand finals in some leagues, and they've had had the competitions on hold for the last couple of weeks. It is, but we are back. So, you know, talking things like Murray Towns, Great Southern Hills, Alexandra and Eastern Hills, Torrens Valley Cricket. There's going to be some great local cricket kicking off around the local area once again. They, of course, have those COVID-safe plans in place with the QR codes and everything like that. I would encourage you, if you are interested in getting along, to just get in touch with your local competition, find out exactly what the deal is. Most of them have the information on their Facebook pages, that sort of thing, and find out exactly what the go is with their QR code. Just as a non-sporting bit, Damon, have you had a QR code check-in? Did it go smoothly for you?
We've had to do it for a couple of months, in fact, at my boys' swimming lessons when they were on, of course. We've kind of, you know, got used to bringing them up on the phone, and all you need to do is show the image, and generally they get scanned. So, you know, it's not too difficult.
Yeah, it's pretty painless in my experience. So that's all going good. So just check that out before you head along.
Yep.
And depending where you are, it's not too late to get involved. There are still plenty of cricket teams around the local area looking for players. So Yankalilla, they're looking for under 14 boys and girls to join their club. So if you're in that area and you're looking to have a start your cricket career, boys and girls for under 14. Mount Lofty seniors, they're always looking for players. Well, I say seniors, I mean A grade, that they're always looking for players as well. So it isn't too late to get involved in the summer. The local clubs would love to have you on board, whether as a player or a volunteer, you know, pouring beers or running the sausages or whatever it may be. If you're at a loose end and you love cricket, get in touch with your local club and get involved.
I'm distracted now. I heard beers and sausages. Hey, Eddie, I'm just looking at the
weather. It's 7:40 in the morning, Damon.
I've been up for a while. I'm just looking at the weather forecast for this weekend. Windy with showers, 80% chance of 1 to 5 mils in the hills. What a great start to the cricket season. But, I mean, that's always the way, isn't it? Good luck to everyone that's playing this weekend. The Aussies, of course, have been in action this week with the end of the ODI series against India.
Yeah, so they won that three-match series 2-1. Some great one-day cricket. It was really exciting to watch, although a couple of games did drag on a bit because of how slow they were bowling
ridiculous.
The overs. But there was some fantastic cricket played. Glenn Maxwell with his switch hits for six and that sort of stuff. Absolutely thrilling to watch and some great cricket. India did come back in that last game and did pinch it. The Aussies were in a position and didn't quite get there, but they move on to the T20s now. And speaking of T20s, the Big Bash kicks off next Thursday. The Hurricanes and the Sixers start that competition off. The first couple of games, all in Hobart and Canberra, so all the teams are set up there. The Strikers get underway next Sunday afternoon against the Hurricanes. So they're slated as a Strikers home game in Hobart against the Hobart team. So it's a bit of a weird one, the Strikers are in action from next Sunday. Looking forward to that.
Plenty of cricket action. The worst time of year for people that don't like cricket because the Big Bash League is literally every night. The AFL machine never stops. And in the next week, we've got the AFL draft.
Yeah, so that's next Wednesday, Damon, and I'm kind of glad that this is now going to be held virtually because the AFL really tried to pump it up into an event like they do with everything else, and it was, I think, initially supposed to be spread over two nights.
Yeah.
They were going to hold the first round on one night and then come back the next day for the second round, you know, with the rest of the picks. Just get it over and done with.
Like,
so it'll be
off.
Televised and, it'll be televised and all that sort of stuff, which is great still, but it'll all be done on one night. it's going to be really interesting for the Crows, especially. With pick number one, and then they've got a bunch of great picks, 9, 22, 23, and 40. They've said that they're down to four players to choose from pick number one.
Okay.
One of those is tied to the Western Bulldogs. He's an academy player, I think. So
yep.
Western Bulldogs, if the Crows pick this player, the Western Bulldogs have the opportunity to swoop in and still take this player. So it begs the question, do they pick somebody at pick one they know that they're not going to actually end up have playing for them?
Mm.
Or do they stick to they will have a talent order. If this guy is their number one, you know, best kid in the country, do they still pick him and then they get to go again with somebody else? It's a tough one because I think that they would want to give a kid the prestige of being actually the number one picked player.
Prestige and pressure, though, I would say. And do you really want to give other clubs the leg up? In a competitive competition, you want to undercut them as much as possible, and making the Bulldogs pay top dollar for Jamari Ugle-Hagan certainly seems strategically the right way to go for mine.
Yeah, I think that he's going to go in the first few picks anyway. So it's not. I think the Bulldogs have come to terms with that. They know that they're going to have to pay up heavy. The Crows have an interesting draft history, but you know, go out and get the kid that you want, bring
yep.
him to the club,
fair
let
enough.
him actually come in, and you've got to own it. When you've got pick one, you actually have to own it. If you're running scared about what the kid might end up being like, then it's, you know, there's no point in finishing bottom, is there?
Yeah, so, lean in. Of course, Port Adelaide going for Lockie Jones, their academy pick.
He looks a star. He looks really, really good and, you know, might have flown under the radar a little bit this year. Port's first pick currently in the draft is 35. So they're going to have to... it'll be interesting to see exactly where Lockie Jones is bid on by another club.
Yep.
I don't think you'll get all the way to pick 35 for
Definitely
Port,
not.
But they'll have to go for a swoop in on him early as well. The other interesting club to watch is going to be Essendon. They've got picks 6, 7 and 8. Live trading all the way up until the pick that's due. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, the Crows might bundle up a couple of picks to move up the order. And Essendon, I don't think that they would be too worried about letting one of those picks go for something else. Maybe a Collingwood
yep.
would look to come in early because they've got a horror run with their trade period. So they might look to move up the order as well.
Crows and Essendon fans, get excited for Wednesday night. All right, Eddie, your time is now. We let you do this every now and again. It's Dart Chat.
We've got all the rubbish out the way. Let's speak about something that's really important. So we've had a world first. So Jose de Souza won the Grand Slam of Darts a couple of weeks ago. Now, this guy, he's a real... Do you remember Paul Potts, who won Britain's Got Talent or something like that?
Yeah, the opera singer?
Yeah. He was selling mobile phones. Well, this guy is basically the same. He's a 46-year-old from... he's a kitchen fitter from Portugal. And he's now become one of the best darts players in the world. He's become the first Portuguese player to win a televised darts final. And they did quite well to bring some of the atmosphere of having no crowds with some fake crowd noise. I think they've done one of the best. This is Jose de Souza winning the Grand Slam of Darts. See what you think about the fake crowd noise here.
For the championship. Oh, go on, Jose! Double 19. That is astonishing! Absolutely incredible! He's in tears! Jose de Souza wins the Grand Slam of Darts!
To be honest, it sounds like every other darts clip I've ever heard, so you wouldn't know the difference.
That's the consistency of it all. And look, crowds are back for the World Championships, which kick off shortly as well in the UK. That's fantastic. They are going to let crowds in. Tickets went on sale this morning, Australian time, for that. And the World Championships is great. Runs for a few weeks. Traditionally, the final on New Year's Day, I think it is. So plenty of great darting action to come over the festive season.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good, mate.
Anyhow,
balls
up.
Best bit of radio I've done in ages.
Anyhow, balls up Friday. We've still got a couple of weeks left. Eddie, we'll chat to you next Friday.
Thanks, mate.